Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. When we last spoke with the musician Mary Gaucher a year ago, she was engaged in a sprawling new project, taking the words of America's war veterans and making songs out of them. The raw lyrics and personal reflections form the backbone of Gaucher's new album, her 10th, Rifles and Rosary Beads.
Rifles and rosary beads, you hold on to what you need. Vicodin, morphine dreams, rifles and rosary beads, yellow smoke, orange haze, blowing into my eyes, whistling sun.
Gaucher will be taking the songs and more from her terrific catalog on the road in the coming weeks, including several dates in our listening area: April 21st at Common Ground Coffee House in Yonkers, April 25th here at WAMC's The Linda in Albany, April 27th at Meeting House Presents in Hartford, Connecticut, June 10th at Roots on the River in Bellows Falls, Vermont, and June 14th at The Parlor Room in Northampton, Massachusetts. Mary Gaucher, welcome back to The Roundtable.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
I'm exhausted just reading the dates you're about to play in our region. Do you like going out on the road?
I have an incredible year in front of me. I do. I like bringing the songs to the people. Recorded records are one part of what I do. But the thing that feeds me is to be in front of an audience, singing directly to the people. These songs have an old-fashioned storytelling power to them, and I like watching them land. I'm a troubadour at heart, which means I got to go town to town and sing and talk to the people. So it's my soul journey. It's what I'm supposed to be doing. So I guess the answer is yes, I do like it.
Have you had a chance to play out the new songs in this latest batch yet?
Quite a bit. I just did a two-week run on the West Coast, and we kicked it off in England with several shows in the United Kingdom.
And how are they being received?
Well, these songs were co-written mostly with wounded veterans. And so the stories behind these songs are emotional and complex. When you send a human being into war, they come back if they've seen combat and are wounded in some way. They've seen a lot. So these are complex and difficult stories. But the reaction of the audience is profound. I think people are feeling what it must be like to be in the position so many of our veterans are in. And it's this empathy that is so exciting to me. I mean, we have a divide right now between the military and the civilians. Most folks don't even know a veteran anymore. You know, 1% is serving for the 99%. Mm-hmm. And so they're stunned to hear the true stories of what our veterans are going through. And people care. And there's always veterans in the audience who see how much people care. And I think that's very touching for veterans to witness that. And I think it's important for civilians to get the real stories and to bear witness not to just the Hollywood stories, but the real stories, and to know that these people volunteered and they're carrying a very heavy weight. I was bound to something bigger and more important than a single human life. I wore my uniform with honor. My service was not a sacrifice. I've got decades of co-writing experience. What was new for me, though, was to keep myself completely out of the story. As a songwriter in Nashville, co-writing is part of my daily life. But with songwriting with soldiers, the instruction is don't insert yourself. You don't know anything about war. And that's the truth. So I can't jump in and say, yeah, that time I was in Iraq. You know, I've never been to Iraq. So With these songs and with Songwriting with Soldiers, what the songwriters do fundamentally is bear witness in non-judgment and turn the stories that were told into songs without inserting ourselves and without inserting any judgment. I often describe it as midwifing. You know, the midwife didn't have anything to do with the creation of that baby. You just sit on the little stool and wait for the baby to come. I feel as though in a perfect world, that's what I'm doing with the veteran co-writers. I try to find the melody. I use my musical skills to find the melody that matches what I believe they're feeling or what they're demonstrating that they feel. And then I insert their words into that melody, make it rhyme, and a song starts to be born. But I don't insert my opinions or my beliefs or my politics or my any judgment at all. I'm just bearing witness and transcribing. Look in my eyes. I got your
signs. 6 o'clock, the world falls silent. At 6 o'clock, the guilt remains. 6 o'clock, the breath goes sour. At 6 o'clock, I'll hold your pain. No need to talk or testify. Just keep your story tucked inside. No savior on a crucifix. Look in my eyes. I got your sin.
You've talked a lot about your own struggles and the way songs have helped you through them. I'm wondering, did you have any reticence about taking on these other burdens? You know, a lot of these songs are very personal. They're about, you know, people who've seen unspeakable things and, you know, grappled with thoughts of suicide and so on. It's a lot to take on.
It is a lot. But here's the background for me. I got into songwriting after I was arrested for drunk driving in 1990. My arrest led to me being sentenced by the court to 6 months into a recovery program, and I got sober. So I've been clean and sober since 1990. That's going on 3 decades. I've used that time to recover, to work through an awful lot of things, both in therapy and in my own songwriting. So the person I am today is actually incredibly stable, having done so much work, and I have a really beautiful support network around me. So while bearing witness to these difficult stories, it is difficult. It does not collapse me. I'm able actually to sit with someone who's been traumatized and not be afraid, because I know in some way what that burden is like. I don't know what war trauma is like, but there was a lot of things that led me to becoming an alcoholic and an addict and ending up in that arrest situation. And a lot of it had to do with childhood trauma. So I can bear witness in a way that's actually useful to the veterans because of what I've been through. And so many of the songwriters feel the same way. I mean, most of us get into the arts as a way to help heal ourselves from something that happened. That's why so many artists have the reputation of being troubled. Something has gone on that needs to be worked through. And I think articulating it through song or poetry or painting or, acting or performance is a way of working through it that is effective. I think the magic of song is that music is a universal language. And so there's not all this, you have to have an education to go to an art museum, or you have to be able to, you know, study the arts to go deep into literature. But the song, you just turn on the radio and there it is. So there's not a master class required, and you can feel it and experience the emotion of it without having to be educated about what songs mean. And so this universal language can get into a person's story and create empathy really quickly. And the struggle for so many of our veterans is they don't feel seen and they don't feel heard and they don't feel known. That is a huge problem, and that's why we're losing 22 a day to suicide. They feel so alone. And they are alone because trauma is so hard to articulate. But music particularly can get in there and help them to be seen and heard and known and not alone anymore. And so many of the songwriters that Darden Smith, the founder of Songwriting with Soldiers, brings into the program are so consciously aware of this, that we have magic at our fingertips. It's alchemy. It's a very powerful medium. It's not just a product for a marketplace. Songs are powerful mediums.
Do you think that you could apply this model to people suffering other traumas?
Absolutely. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is so many of our school children have witnessed slaughters. I mean, that's analogous to war. And those kids at Marjorie Stoneham Douglas, they're traumatized. Those kids saw 17 people go down, their peers. That is a war zone. And I read the numbers are terrifying, mortifying, that upwards of 250,000 of our school children have been through some version of that at this stage of history.
That's just incredible.
Mass shootings in their schools or shootings in their schools where they experience. See, trauma, as I understand it, is the experience of impending annihilation. Your body and soul knows you're fixing to die. And you go through a series of things that an animal goes through, and you realize you cannot get out of it. You're trapped, and you're going to die. And that breaks your brain in a fundamental way. And working through that, I think, is the challenge of medical science right now. What do we do with this trauma? We're going to either work through it or act it out. Acting it out, of course, leads to addiction. It leads to domestic violence. Underneath so many of our society's ills is trauma. I think the arts can be very, very effective in helping people dealing with this burden to articulate it so that they're not alone. It takes something awful and turns it into something beautiful, and then that goes out in the world and helps other people, which then goes back to the source and provides comfort. When you know your story is helping other people, by nature, the human animal experiences a sense of pride in that. That, whoa, the worst thing that happened to me can help someone else? This is what they experience when the songs go out in the world and they see that their story is landing on someone else and helping them. It brings them such satisfaction. Because by nature, they're built to serve. I mean, they volunteered for the service. They're born to serve. This is who they are. And if they can be of service, they want to be of service. We don't have to spend a lot of time convincing them because they can see their song land on their peers at the workshop. And their peers experience relief and walk right up to them and hug them and thank them for the courage it took to write that song.
Is this something that has been embraced by, you know, the service itself, the VA, programs that are, you know, working with veterans as they come back to the U.S.? Do you think this could be scaled up?
Yes, and yet not too far. Because we do have VA therapists that work with us, actually, that volunteer are on paid staff for some of the retreats. We have a VA therapist who was in training to be part of Songwriting with Soldiers, actually. But the reason this works so well, I think, is because it's intimate. There's never more than, say, 20 people. You know, 4 songwriters, 6 to 10 veterans, and a few staff. It's the intimacy that encourages the vulnerability required to write these songs. I mean, these veterans are incredibly vulnerable in these songs, and everything about being a soldier screams, don't be vulnerable. So they have to go against training to be this vulnerable, and it's terrifying for them. So the smallness of it, I think, is a very important part of why it works. That said, why can't a bunch of small groups do this? Another important part is that the songwriters Darden brings in are master songwriters. No one comes into Songwriting with Soldiers as a songwriter who's got less than, say, 2 decades of songwriting experience. There's a lot of mastery of the art form that's required to get these songs written. So he's bringing in, CMA Award winners, Grammy Award winners, folks like Daryl Scott, Beth Nielsen Chapman, Ashley Cleveland. She's got 3 Grammys. Jay Clemente, who's been writing in Nashville with a huge number of hits and success. He brings in master songwriters. So you can't really, you need a journeyman, even if it's a woman, a journey person, let's say, to sit and bear witness and articulate this. You wouldn't want to have a beginning or an entry level songwriter, because it's a tenuous situation. You're dealing with someone, they come to us because they're wounded. You know, not every veteran who served is wounded. That's a stereotype. But the veterans that come to Songwriting with Soldiers are carrying a burden. That's why they come. And so there's several conditions that have to be met, but I certainly see the potential for this model to help with so many more of our veterans and other folks who are dealing with a heavy trauma.
We've been speaking with Mary Gaucher, and her new album is called Rifles and Rosary Beads. She'll be in our region for several dates this spring, beginning April 21st at Common Ground Coffee House in Yonkers, at our own Linda in Albany on April 25th, April 27th at the Meeting House Presents in Hartford, Connecticut, June 10th at Roots on the River in Bellows Falls, Vermont, and the Parlor Room in Northampton, Mass. On June 14th. Mary Gaucher, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show, and I'm so excited that you're coming to our venue April 25th. It'll be great to have you here.
I love the Linda. It's a great little listening room. I hope to see folks there. And thank you for the time. I appreciate the opportunity to express some of these thoughts. I'm grateful. Thank you.
I wore my uniform with honor, and my service was not a sacrifice. But what saves you in the battle can kill you at home. A soldier, soldier in arms, a soldier.
Listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.